Savior, because he saves us from all our sins, and because salvation is not to be sought or found in anyone else. Do those who seek their salvation or well-being in saints, in themselves, or anywhere else also believe in the only Savior, Jesus? No. Though they boast of him in words, they in fact deny the only Savior, Jesus, for one of two things must be true. Either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or those who by true faith accept the Savior must find in him all that is necessary for their salvation. So far. And after the sermon, we will sing in response the all stanzas of hymn 84. Dear brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, at the conclusion of this service, we will sing, "The name of Jesus calms our fears and bids our sorrow cease. 'Tis music to the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace." That leads me to a question. What's so special about the name Jesus that allows us to say this? We don't say anything of the sort about any other person, not even your most loved friend or family member. So why do we say such things of the name Jesus? Well, the answer is both simple and profound. The name Jesus is music to our ears because this Jesus, as the second person of the Holy Trinity, was sent by the Father to redeem us from everlasting perdition. He came to intervene in our lives and release us from a free fall into eternal death. The name Jesus means Savior, or more specifically, the Lord saves. Our covenant God, Yahweh, who established a relationship with us, he saves. And the word save is used in Scripture in a variety of ways, but usually describes rescue from some kind of calamity. Brothers and sisters, which includes you boys and girls, what is the worst thing that could happen to a human being? Well, the ultimate disaster that can befall anyone is not military defeat, starvation, cancer, or being debilitated or maimed, or being shipwrecked and left to drown in an icy sea, in icy sea waters, like it happened to the people who boarded the Titanic. The worst thing that could ever strike us is not that we are deprived of all financial resources, or to be persecuted for our faith, or to have our children taken from us, or to watch our loved ones abused, tortured, and mutilated. These are unimaginably terrible and horrible things, but the worst thing that could happen to us is that we should fall into the hands of an angry God and stand exposed before his wrath. To stand before God, facing his wrath, apart from Jesus, is the worst catastrophe that could befall anyone. And yet it is often what we fear or think about the least. And here's another question for you kids. Do you remember, and you should because we just read it, how the angel of the Lord explained the meaning of Jesus' name to Joseph before he was born? He said to Joseph, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And every word in that phrase matters. Jesus. He is given this name because he is the one appointed by God to save us from our sins. So every time we hear the name Jesus, we are also confronted with our sins, our transgressions, our misdeeds and failures, and how we stand condemned before God without a Savior. But no human power can free us from our sin and misery. No one can deliver us from God's wrath or turn our darkness into light, our sorrow into joy. And this is why the call of the gospel, the invitation of the preaching, is that you and I come and meet this Jesus in his person and in his work in the place where he meets us, here in the church. He meets us in the gospel in the place where we hear his voice. And why should we want to meet him? Why must we listen to his voice? It's because this Jesus is our eternal salvation. Matthew 1 verse 21 says it all. He will save. And remarkably, the rest of the Gospel of Matthew was written to explain that phrase. The whole book is an exploration of the meaning Jesus saves. And it soon becomes clear that Jesus does not come to save and rescue his people, riding on a crest and wave of popularity, sweeping to power on the adoration of the masses. He does not come to free the people of God from political forces by leading an insurrection or rebellion against those who hold the reins of power. He does not come to display greatness and make us happy, wealthy, and healthy. Jesus saves. He comes in humility. He saves by suffering. He wins by losing, and he gives life by dying. And this is the message that Christ proclaims in the word that he preaches and confirms in the signs and miracles he performs. Take Matthew 9 as an example. When Jesus returns to Capernaum, a man who has been a paralytic for years is brought to Jesus. Jesus, however, does not merely heal the man, but he uses this occasion to confront the scribes, the teachers of the law, and all the people with the purpose of his coming, namely to save them from their sins. And this is why, instead of saying to the paralytic, "Be healed," he says to him, "Your sins are forgiven you." And with those words, Jesus challenges everyone present with the question, "Do you know how you can truly be healed?" You cannot receive true healing unless you are saved from the wrath of God. You need to be right with God. And that can only happen through my person and my work. I alone can heal you of all your infirmities through the forgiveness of your sins. I did not come to give you a better life, to give you a feel-good religion. I came to deliver you from the wrath of God and to make you right with your heavenly Father. And in order for that to happen, you need to believe in me, for I alone can take away your sins through forgiveness. Yes, the Savior who heals the paralytic is able to forgive sins. And this is nothing else but the work of God. Only God can make the paralytic walk and forgive his sins. Well, the scribes knew this, and therefore the words of Matthew 9, verse 6 are so important. For there Jesus says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," that is, to be a complete Savior, he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And with this miracle, the people recognized that they had witnessed a divine act. And thus they went home praising God. Jesus healed the paralytic to make it clear that he has the power to heal this man's heart. Jesus has the power and the authority to save souls from the paralysis of sin. That's the point. And this very point should cause us to rejoice every time we gather together to worship. For through the powerful working of the Word of Jesus and the Spirit of Jesus, we witness a divine act. The ability of our Savior to forgive sins, to heal, and to transform our lives. And when Matthew concludes his account of the gospel, he takes us back to the beginning in a rather remarkable way. The angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And the same vocabulary reappears in the conclusion, but not from the mouth of an angel, but from the lips of the mocking crowds who jeer and pour out their vitriol at him. "He saved others. He cannot save himself," they say. That's what the crowd said. But they did not understand that it was precisely here at the cross that the salvation Jesus came to accomplish was secured. The crowds jeered, "He cannot save himself." But he didn't need to save himself. He came to save his people from their sins by voluntarily dying for them and saving them from the wrath of God. Yes, the cross looked like defeat, but in fact it was mission accomplished. Jesus, nailed to the cross, bears the guilt of our sins. He takes the penalty and pays the price so that you and I can be pardoned. And not only does he save us from the guilt of our sin, but also from the power of our sin. He breaks the power of reigning sin and sets the prisoner free, we will sing. Oh, there are times in our lives when we realize something really needs to change. And we vow to be a different man or a different woman. We tell ourselves it's time to turn over a new leaf. But then our hearts betray us again. And sin ensnares us again. Why? It's because we don't need to turn over a new leaf. We don't even need to try harder. But we need a resurrection from the dead. We need a Savior who lifts us out of the grave of our sins. Yes, the name Jesus confronts us with who we are. His name places before us our sins, our transgressions, our misdeeds, and our failures. Brothers and sisters, are you with me? It is imperative for us to hold unwaveringly to what the Bible teaches us regarding the name Jesus without creating a Jesus of our own making who will do and give us what we want. If you and I do not believe in Jesus as the one who grants us complete and full forgiveness of our sins, then we may boast of him in words, but in fact, we deny the only Savior, Jesus. So stand firm in believing that Jesus, who has been presented to you in the gospel, without letting your faith be hijacked by a false presentation of who he is. And the only way you will be able to do so is by reading the scriptures that proclaim and explain his name. You and I need Jesus as the one who suffered and died to save us from our sins. No human power can free us from our sin and misery or supply us with the blessings that we need. No one can deliver us from eternal death or turn our darkness into light. Nobody but Jesus. And so when you say, "I believe in Jesus," that also calls you to get serious about your sins. Let none of us think flippantly about sin and pass it off carelessly as we merrily go our own way. Let the name of Jesus bring us to our knees in confession of our own sins, collectively and individually. Cry out with a heart filled with sorrow for your sins. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Jesus came to save us from our sin, from its guilt, its power, and even more wonderful than that, one day he will come back and save us from sin's presence. And what a day that will be when we come face to face with Jesus, when sin's ever remaining vestige will be eradicated from our hearts. On that day, we will breathe his name with new wonder. Today, Jesus comes to us through the preaching of the gospel, and he calls us to know our own sinfulness. He calls us to repent of whatever we have thought or said or done against the Heavenly Father. Jesus, through every sermon delivered in obedience to his word, encourages and bids us to look away from ourselves and from earthly help. Believe in Jesus as the only and all-sufficient Savior. Remember that he was crucified, died, and was raised for your salvation. And do not despise or ignore his coming to you with the gospel. Turn to Jesus. Find your strength in him alone. Jesus saves you from your sins and gives you hope as you deal with the consequences of sin in sickness and disease and other things that we see in our lives. Do not linger. Do not doubt. Do not hesitate. Recognize your need and at the same time bend your knees in worship and in praise for the miracle of your salvation. Jesus is the salvation of God. He is the Word who was with God and is God. He is the firstborn of all creation, in whom and through whom all things were made. He who is God, God of God and light of light, became one of us and dwelt among us to make us whole and to restore us to the glory we had in paradise. And this is why the Father had Joseph name him Jesus. Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. Jesus delivers our life in its totality, body and soul together. Yes, that name declares that our salvation is complete and comprehensive. And all the miracles, wonders, and healings performed by Jesus testify to this. And so did the healing of the paralytic, in bringing power into the limbs of the cripple. God showed the complete restoration that is made possible through Jesus. I mentioned earlier that to save means to rescue and deliver. And the extent of the rescue is so complete that the one who receives it is made whole. This is what Jesus came to do. He was sent from the Father to make all of life whole. Jesus is perfect. And this is why he could make the perfect sacrifice for sin. This Jesus saves our life from beginning to end. He takes away all our sins and our shortcomings. He makes us a new creation, perfect, whole, so that I may live in a relationship with the Lord. And when he comes again, he will purge the entire world of anything that threatens to destroy life and communion with the Father. Jesus had already begun to show the glory of his name by granting you the forgiveness of sins and freedom from the curse of God. And with that, he assures us that the rest of salvation is sure to come. Beloved, it is so true. Those who by a true faith accept this Savior find in him all that is necessary for their salvation. Yes, confessing and believing the name Jesus, we are truly blessed. And when Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, removes the veil from before our eyes, we come to see what a miracle salvation really is. And what a blessing it is to take the name of Jesus on our lips. We come to see how our life is wrapped up in the grace of God. No matter how many sins, how many transgressions, no matter how terrible they may be, God forgives them for Jesus' sake. And convinced of the everlasting significance of the name Jesus and the everlasting salvation that is to be sought and found in his name, that also ought to motivate us to speak to our neighbors and colleagues about him. Don't hesitate to encourage people to come to the church of Jesus, where we meet him in the gospel. Yes, every time you come to church, you are making a statement of your faith in Jesus. You are saying that there truly is no other name under heaven through whom we can be saved. Oh, sometimes we may feel frustrated with people that gather with us in church because they disappoint us and let us down. It is discouraging, but at the same time, not surprising, because it proves time and time again that we are not to put our trust in any prince or ruler or person, however wise. There is only one to whom we all together must flee, and that is Jesus. We come to the assembly of God's people to worship, because this is where Jesus speaks to us. He says to us in all our needs the very words he spoke to the paralytic of Matthew 9. Your sins are forgiven you. Brothers and sisters, in the gathering of God's people, you must learn to know Jesus as the only Savior. And this is why you must desire to join in worship. In the place where we all need the same thing, salvation. Drop every effort to look for salvation in anything or anyone else. And let the gospel of salvation cut to your heart and entrust yourself to Him alone. Jesus. Let that name make you recognize your own paralysis and need. Be devoted to Jesus. He is your only hope. He makes us whole so that we can take up our cross and follow Him. And saved by the blood of Jesus, we confess every day anew, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling, because I believe in Jesus. Amen.